So today's the second Sunday in Lent, and Lent is that time of reflection, an opportunity to shift gears for a while and start to look at ourselves in a different kind of way, not from the outside, but looking inside and seeing what we can discover and where we are as Christian people individually and how we can move a little closer and a little deeper in our connection with Christ and to walk in a greater faith and discipleship with Him. To do that, we have this series that we're working on called Spiritual Growth, One Step at a Time, just to recognize that our faith development usually takes place in small steps as opposed to great leaps or happening all at once. Last week, I talked about the significance of belief and about three desires of our heart that we have to sort through. They were connected with the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. If you weren't here last week, you can go on the website, www.graciandichurch.ca, and you can pull up that message and catch up with us in this series. Next week, I'm going to talk about recovery from poor choices. How do we recover when we make bad choices or weak choices in life? And what are the steps to move towards recovery? The week after that, I'm going to look at resources for dry times. When we try to walk in a Christian faith, there are inevitably times when things just seem dry, that our life is kind of dusty and we don't feel that energy and that connection with Christ any longer. What do you do in those times? In the first week of April, I'm going to talk about living life with purpose and to understand what God's purpose is for you and I and how do we live that out in greater fullness and experience some of the energy and the blessings that come with people who walk the way. And today we're going to look at the courage of faith. Faith is a great resource that gives us courage in life. And there are lots of times that it is helpful to have that faith in those times of difficulty, when we have stormy seas, when life is not unfolding the way we want it to, when we encounter difficulties and problems in relationships, when we have diagnoses, when we have limitations in life and we find it difficult to adjust to that. Faith is a great resource to give us courage to move through those times and to make all the adjustments that are necessary so that we can continue to live faithfully and live life to the fullest. This morning, however, I want to talk about one aspect of our spiritual life that is really challenging and hard for us to look at and confront, and where we need the courage of our faith more than any other time. And in order to use our faith in this time, it's going to take courage for us to do this, and that is to look inside of ourselves, to try to peel away the layers of illusion that we have and look at the essence of who we are on a spiritual level. If we fold back the layers of our life and look deep within, what will we discover in our lives? It's a challenging task because most of us don't want to look that deep. We don't want to look into those deep recesses of our life and the crevices that where no light is, and because sometimes we don't like what we see. Another reason why it's hard is because we seldom take the time to do that. We're so busy, we're actively doing stuff, and our agendas are full. And that's why Lent is this time of renewal, of slowing down and looking in and saying, how am I doing? And how can I grow deeper in this connection with the risen Christ? And so I want to talk about the courage of faith to look inside. It's scary sometimes because we're afraid of what we might find. We're afraid that we might find things not in the kind of shape that we hoped and wished they would be. Sometimes we don't want to look in because we sometimes feel like a fraud when we do that. We know what Christ is calling us to do. We know what God wants us to do and how God wants us to live and how we're to share our resources with others. And yet sometimes we find that difficult to do. And when I look in and see where God is calling me and what Christ wants me to do with other people and with what I have, sometimes it lets me down and I feel like that fraud. Sometimes it's just easier to live with my illusions. To live with the illusion of how great I am as a man, right? How wonderful I am as a Christian. I mean, I'm not perfect, of course not, but, you know, compared to Gary here, I'm light years ahead of him. And so, you know, we live with these illusions thinking that, you know, we're okay and we're just fine. I don't need to change because I like me just the way I am, right? And sometimes it's really easy to live with that illusion. And then the most difficult is the wrestling when we look in and the struggle that we find there in most of our lives. It's hard because sometimes when I go inside, there is this wrestling that goes on. And Paul identifies that in this seventh chapter in verse 21 and 24. And he says, I have discovered this principle of life. Now, this is an interesting passage because Paul was a key leader in the Christian church. He was one of the Pharisees. He knew all his biblical stuff. He knew all the theology stuff. He had it all down pat. He even had that huge conversion on the road to Damascus. And then he becomes one of these great leaders. And then he writes, he says, I have discovered this principle in life. That when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. You know, this is not some little schmuck in the church. This is the top leader. And then he goes on to say, I love God's love with all my heart, but there is another power in me that is at war with my mind. See, Paul understands that this is wrestling inside in this conscious level, that he's wrestling with this spiritual part and this other power. And he says, this power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. It's an incredible passage. Paul says, there's another power. And he had this Damascus experience, right? The light, the blindness, all that kind of stuff. And he was totally converted. But all of a sudden, he says, I'm aware of this other power. And it's in war within my mind. It's in my conscious thoughts. It's a struggle that I have within. And then later on, he goes, who's going to help me with this? Who's going to save me, is his word. Who's going to save him from this constant wrestling and this struggle that is deep within? And Paul is wrestling with and helping the early church understand the difference between sin and sins. Now, we don't hear these words much these days. Not even in the churches. In the United Church, if you've heard someone preach on sin or sins in the last little while, I'd be surprised. Because somehow we have allowed these words to just pop out of our consciousness. They're not right words, we would say. And yet Paul says, if you don't understand what's going on inside, in that struggle, that conscious wrestling that we do, it becomes a roadblock. It'll stop you. It'll stop you from growing in your faith. It'll prevent you from taking one more step deeper in your connection with Christ. In the 70s and 80s, Carl Messinger was a great psychologist at the time. He wrote a book called Whatever Happened to Sin. He talks about how we have just seemed to allow it to vanish and we replaced it with positive thinking. Let's just think positively. And you don't hear it in the church much every day, except in a humorous way. You know, you might have an old couple that, you know, are both widowed, and they decide to live together, and they go, we're living in sin. Or, you know, there's another conversation that I've heard in the church, and people go, Lyle, you need a little sin in your life, Brian. Everybody needs a little bit of sin. And we see this sin as a kind of a little joke, a little wink of the eye, and a little laughter. And Paul, I'm sure, would say, this is not a humorous laughing matter. If you don't get this right, it messes you up as a Christian. And so I want to talk about it this morning, to try hard to articulate and help you understand the difference between this concept of sin and the concept of sins that we encounter in life. Well, sin is a word that we don't relate to. You do not hear it used very often. But what sin really is self-centered or self-focused individuals. It's people who are just focused on themselves. That's what the sin is. And it is part of our nature. It's in your DNA. You cannot change this any more than you can change the color of your eyes. This sin, this self-focus, this selfishness that we have within us is as real as the heart that is beating in your heart, in your body right now. And Paul understands that. He said, it's there. You need to be aware of it. And it's part of your nature. It's the part of the way that God created us. And God created that part so that we'd always have choice. And Paul say, it's there, and you want to be aware of it. It is the part of you and I that desires to be like God. It's that part of you that says, I'm going to be in control of my life. Thank you very much. It's that part of you that goes, I don't care what you say on Sunday morning, Lyle. I'm going to do what I want anyways. Ever say that to yourself? When I say you should give all your money to the church, you go, that'll be the day, right? I'm going to do what I want when I want. I'm going to be the one in control of me. And that's the part that Paul is talking about that is inherent in all of us, that part that wants to control, that part that wants to be the God of our lives. And that's the whole story in the first couple of chapters in the book of Genesis. You know, Adam and Eve, God brings order out of chaos. And out of the chaos, he brings this incredible world. And in this image of incredible unity and harmony, Adam and Eve, you know, they're running around. They got all that they ever want. They're in connection with God. There's no disconnect between God, between Adam and Eve, and all of nature. There's this incredible harmony that's going on. And then in the third chapter, there's this introduction of the snake guy, right? And this person sets in the deception. God says you could have anything you want, Adam and Eve. Enjoy yourself. The only thing I ask is you stay away from this one tree. There's like a gazillion trees you can pick from. Go crazy. But this one tree, which is the tree of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil, do not do that because it'll change you. It will kill you. And of course, the little snake speaks to Adam and Eve and goes, God's just kidding. It's not going to kill you. I guarantee it. You know what the real issue is here? God doesn't want you to be like God. And so they take that and they eat the fruit, and all of a sudden, things change in an instant. The unity between them goes away. They become vulnerable and they are aware of their nakedness. They have no oneness with each other, and there's no oneness with God, and death, in fact, of what used to be that harmony, in fact, does take place. And that whole story is about this desire that you and I have to be like God. And it's that sin or that self-focus that's in us. It works from the inside. It's always there. It's inside. It's pushing. It's always there. It's that shadow side of us. And it's always present, working from in, trying to help you to take control. We even see it today in death now, right? Now, we don't only want to be in control of how life unfolds. We now, because we're so intelligent and wise and knowing, want to be in control of when we die. Very fascinating thing that's happening in our culture. And this is this part in us that wants to control. I'll decide when, I'll decide where, and I will let you know. And this is this concept of sin, or this selfish focus that all of us have inside. And the question is, do you know it? Are you aware that it's in you? Now, sins, on the other hand, are selfish acts. They're the actions. They're the consequence of our nature. It's because of this selfish nature that I have that then I do things that hurt me and hurt other people. You know, I was talking to the kids this morning. You know, sometimes it's hard to share. You know, and then somebody, you're playing with a toy and someone comes and wants to play with the toy, and all of a sudden, the three-year-old says, "It's mine." How do they know that? It's my toy. You can't have it, right? And we hurt people, and it's these consequences from this nature that is part of us. You know, we're so surprised when we have this bullying with kids and teenagers. You know, how can they be so cruel? And we're so surprised that this is happening in our world. But it's part of this sinful nature, this selfish nature that unfolds as consequences of this nature into selfish acts. They're individual actions and thoughts. There are things that the mistakes that we make and the times when we fail to be like Jesus. Love this phrase from Gandhi. He goes, "I like your Christ." He wasn't a Christian, but he knew about Christ. He goes, "I like you guys. I like your Christs. I like your Christ." He goes, "I do not like your Christians." And then he goes and says, "Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." See, Gandhi saw it in you and I. Gandhi says, "I know, I like your Christ, young lady. But you don't look anything like him. You don't act anything like the Christ who you proclaim." And Gandhi is showing this part of the actions in the sins that is incongruent with the faith that we have. And here's the big one, is that when we're not aware of this nature in us that has the consequences of sinful acts, then we displace our actions and sins on other people. It's called projection. And so the thing I watch in you that I despise, I think, isn't he an awful person? What would make him do that? Have you heard someone say that? I can't believe she acted that way. Did you hear what she said? Right? And all we're doing is revealing what's inside me. Because the stuff I reject in others is the mistakes or the lack of Christ I'm projecting on them that's in me. And if we're going to fulfill this vision of engaging the community, you and I need to get this straight. Because if we don't get this straight, we're going to screen all the new people that walk through that door. The issue is not people don't come through that door, it's that people come through that door and we screen them out. And it's because we're confused about this. And they don't act like us. They don't look like us. They do things that I've never done. And then I give them that look. I just give that little sharp little poke. You ever done that? You know, that nice welcome to see you, butt, right? And you nail them. And that's this selfish stuff inside us. And if we don't understand this, it's going to not only halt our Christian faith, it's also going to halt the growth of our congregation. And so Paul says, who's going to rescue me from this situation? What am I going to do now that I know that this part of me that is really selfish and wants more stuff for Lyle than anybody else? What do I do with this part of me that hurts other people even though I don't want to do it? And Paul says, the secret is embracing Christ. He says, you've got to stay connected to the vine. That's what Jesus was talking about with his disciples. You've got to stay connected to me because that's how the energy flows. That's how the grace of God flows. That's how the love of Christ flows. It only flows through the vine to the branches. And if you're not connected, it's not going to flow in you. Mary Crook said, for us to develop Christ-like attitudes, we must learn about the Savior and follow in his ways. You've got to stay connected to Christ. That's what Paul says. He says that in Romans 7, 24, 25. He says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And then he says, thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, when you stay connected, when you embrace Christ, you allow the Spirit to move and flow through us so that the energy of the Holy Spirit overcomes this selfish nature within me. And all of a sudden, the fruit begins to change. Instead of criticism and tearing people down, we begin to lift them up and heal them. Second thing is to be aware of the grace and forgiveness that I need in my life for the mistakes that I have made. Now, I made mistakes 40 years ago, but I'm talking not only about those mistakes, but the mistakes that you made this past week when you gossiped about somebody. Do you remember that moment this week when you talked negatively about somebody? Or when you failed to help someone? Or when you had a thought that wasn't very positive about your neighbor, your friend, maybe the person in front of you that was driving too slow? And Paul says, we need to understand this grace and forgiveness that's for me. I don't need to worry about Anne. I need to worry about Lyle. And the great story where Jesus says, you know, take the log out of your own eye, right? Before you worry about taking the speck out of somebody else's eye. See, I want to take the speck out of Anne's eye because I can see that speck, but I can't see this huge log in my own eye. And forgiveness is when I get it. I go, the log in my eye is way bigger than any of you guys because all you have is specks. And it's learning how to live with that grace and forgiveness and to walk in humility, to walk in the humility of Christ and understand that there's nobody in this room that doesn't need God's grace and love. And there's nobody in this room that is not trying the best they can possibly do to walk with Christ. There may be lots that are not walking as positive they could be and doing things they shouldn't be. But walking humbly realizes that everybody here is trying just like me. So my responsibility is not condemnation, but compassion, grace, forgiveness, and love. And then the very final piece. Is surrender your life to Christ. Surrender is an incredibly difficult word for us. For most of our minds, when we think of surrender, we think of defeat. I'm surrendering because I know I've been beaten. I'm surrendering because I know there is no hope in fighting anymore. And we see surrender in such a negative way. But the surrender we're talking about when we talk about surrendering our life to Christ is about allowing ourselves to be open and give Christ permission to be in every part of me so that I'll be lifted up, so that I'll grow, so that I'll be transformed into the kind of person that I've been created to be. And so Christ is the one that helps us move through this sin nature that's in us, this self-centered nature that's in us. It's the one that helps us to allow the Spirit to come in and transform us so that our sinful acts become less and less. And when we make mistakes, we embrace the grace and the love and the compassion of Christ.